Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Should be noted, I know Northeast Ohio Transportation blog had put this out, that you know we talked about the Consum coming to Cleveland here, and the report is that that was actually supposed to go in the Brook Park thing for the Haslams.
Yeah.
And so basically it was stolen from the Haslams. I kind of like this, only because when billionaires battle, we end up getting some cool stuff out of it.
I mean, this is... were the Haslams the one that wanted to be behind it? And did they lose that battle out? And that's how it ended up going to Blitzer and to everybody else and to Gilbert? Or was it the type of thing that... I wouldn't envision Blitzer and Gilbert at any point being like, let's put this in Poundtown.
Oh, I what do you mean? Like, oh, you mean like they were initially going to put it there and then
right.
moved it? No. Meaning the Haslams, it was earmarked to go to the Brook Park project, and then...
But it would have been owned and funded by the Haslams, correct?
Yes, and then yeah. Dan and Blitzer
so
stepped in.
So what's nice about that is that is Blitzer and company being like, well, basically telling the Haslams, screw you.
Yes, which again, like, okay, billionaires fighting over stuff, not always the greatest. However, if it ends up with more cool stuff being in downtown or in Brook Park or in the surrounding area... That is one way we could tangibly benefit in Cleveland.
Hey, 2028 into 2029 is going to be we're the bell of the ball. That's going to be a good time.
We're pretty okay now. But I am excited as there have been so many attempts to make the flats cool. I think this Cavs facility thing, the rock block, I think it actually will. Right?
Wait, but I thought Cosm was supposed to be on like the intersection of 4th Street, Prospect, and Huron.
Yeah, but it's still part of it, which is it's a part of the project, which extends down to the, I keep calling it the lakefront, the flats.
The riverfront?
Yes, the riverfront, thank you. I've been using those things interchangeably.
Interchangeably. Yeah, I mean, it's so separated, though, but that's fine. The flats has been growing so much in general anyway. It looks like a completely different place. I went down there couple weeks ago, and I hadn't been in like a couple years, and it's night and day.
So you know me, I'm a Mulberry's guy. That's a great bar, and it's a great hang.
Yeah,
unless you're not okay with certain things, I'm okay with all of it.
What are those things?
Certain folks. Yeah, they have a very popular volleyball league that invites people of all lifestyles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I honestly did not know what you were getting at.
It's an awesome hang, man. One, people are just so nice there. But it's right down by not Nautica. The Jacobs Pavilion down there.
Yeah,
so it's walkable, and it does have of the local places my favorite pizza in the world. And not talking to local chains, because remember we segment these things into their own thing. You guys know who my favorite local chain is. I don't have to say it, but Mulberry's is just amazing.
Oh, and between that and the redesign of Shooters, we're ready to go.
It is a great hang. So Ness and I went there for the first time before Avett Brothers last year, which again, the Jacobs Pavilion is just such an awesome place to see a band like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we were blindsided by booty cheeks. Meaning
like actual booty cheeks?
There was a person there who was in like a kimono if you were just looking. Like, if you're just looking at them like this.
Yeah.
But then, once you got on the other side of them, they were just in a thong, and it was just booty cheeks in your face. And it was like, you know what? This person is very comfortable who they are, and we support that ability to be that comfortable. And except for this, Vanessa got very like, oh my gosh. And I was like, honey, we're not in Mayberry anymore. It's okay.
I mean, have you gone to any like resorts or any, just go to a swimming pool these days? Cheeks are out.
Yeah, they are.
They're very out these days.
They are, and
doesn't bother me in the slightest bit. Be out as you want to be, but like they're very out.
I was really surprised at the beach this last week. There were not. It was pretty tasteful.
Well, but it's still a Michigan beach at the end of the day.
What does that mean?
I'm not expecting a Michigan beach to have the same energy as a Mexico beach.
That is fair. That is fair. Or a Cleveland. No, Cleveland. No,
when you did one of your photos on Facebook of the beach and the water and everything like that, I almost in snark was going to reply and be like, Edgewater looks great this time of year.
Hey, between Edgewater, Mentor Highlands, I know Headlands, Vanessa loves that beach. Plenty of nice beaches here, too. Mm-hmm. So we got a name for you.
Yeah.
It's a name that Jeff Phelps has been pushing because the summer of discontent between the Commanders and Terry McLaurin. And because Terry played at Ohio State, and quite frankly, because every ranking that comes out, the Browns are either bottom five at best for their wide receivers and tight ends. And as people like Jeff saying, the Browns should make that run. Before we get to the Mary Kay audio, I'm just curious whether... Because this is the one bad thing that 3-14 is maybe robbed from us.
Totally is robbed from us. The conversations like this.
Yes.
How do you make the team better? How do you get the team to be their very best? One thing I think that's... There's a couple things I find really interesting about this. And so we'll just kind of go down this lazy river together. Terry McLaurin's obviously awesome. The one thing that he's defined by as of right now in his career is not the five straight 1,000-yard seasons. It's the idea that he took Jaden Daniels as a rookie and was awesome. So you notice the teams that are going to be associated and attached to one Terry McLaurin. It's going to be teams like the Titans, for instance, who now have Cam Ward, and they're going to say, well, if you did it for Jaden Daniels, you can do it for Cam Ward as well. The Patriots are going to go ahead and look towards Terry McLaurin and say, you did it for Jaden Daniels, you can do it for Drake May. It's going to be a lot of those type of teams. Yes, you'll have your 49ers in the mix and stuff like that as well, but it's going to be those type of teams. And so if we're looking at it through that lens, should we be having the Browns involved in this discussion? Not maybe for this upcoming season. The idea that you get Terry McLaurin and he's better for the 2026 quarterback that you don't even know exists right now.
No. And the reason being is you're still going to spend the money up front. And two, there's not a Jamar Chase available every year. There is a Terry McLaurin.
So that's what you have to ask yourself. Like, can you find more Terry McLaurins out there?
And like that, like I think Terry's, I don't think he's top five. He might be top 10, but he's definitely top 20. And probably definitely like top 15. Those guys, I mean, Amari was a top 15, top 20 receiver when he got him for peanuts. Stephon Diggs has been traded about three times over now. There are other reasons with Stephon. It rhymes with pink cocaine, allegedly.
Or just is pink cocaine.
That too. But I do think like those kind of really, like, you're not going to get a Justin Jefferson. You're not going to get a Jamar Chase. But do I think if the first thing next year is a rookie quarterback and the next thing becomes a vet, do I think you'll be able to find it? Yes, because that can be what you use the other first round pick on, either for a wide receiver in the draft or to go. I mean, you flash a number one pick and a first round pick out there for a wide receiver. More often than not, you're going to be able to find something.
Yeah, and so like this in return, like Mary Kay and Jeff were kind of projecting out maybe like a second round pick somewhere in that range. So you're giving up some value. There's no denying it. I had initially thought, no, not interested. Don't want that right now. Too early was my forecasting on this one. But the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I came around to the idea that if this is the only time you can get someone like Terry McLaurin, and we just disagree on whether or not there's just going to be a dime a dozen of these guys, but if this is the only time you can get him, and he's mad with Washington right now, he's not in any of the voluntary or the mandatory minicamps, maybe this is the time you strike.
I think the problem with it is I do think it aids whatever quarterback you get this year, and I don't think it aids them to the point where you're a playoff team, but if that player adds even 1 to 2 wins because of big playability, I think you're going to be putting the cart before the horse. You might make the offense just good enough to be a 6-win team when you probably are a 4-win team or a 3-win team.
I get what you're saying, and it would be awful if you end up being a 6-win team instead of a 4-win team, and this costs you 4 draft slots, because you had to get this type of player on your roster. But I do think it makes Andrew Berry look better in the process if he gets Terry McLaurin, because obviously that's a wide receiver that adds to the room, and your offense does look better, and all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe they're just heading in the right direction after something like this.
216-474-0092, how involved should the Browns be with the trade market? Phelps is obsessed with the name Terry McLaurin of the Commanders. Is there in a contract kerfuffle in Washington? When Mary Kay did join the Midday Boys earlier today, she commented on whether this is the right time, right place, and makes sense.
The Browns will always check into anything like that. They will always do that. But I don't get the sense that they're clamoring for a big, high-priced receiver this season. I think if they're going to do something like that, it's going to be next season when they also add potentially their quarterback of the future. I think this year they're probably not going to break the bank on somebody like that. But of course, when a Terry McLaurin comes along, you have to at least consider it. You have to at least look into it, weigh the pros and cons, and determine, you know, what that might look like over the next 4 years or something like that. So I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't get the sense right now that they're looking to add a big high-priced receiver.
So I think she's spot on with a lot of that. The only thing I would say is I agree to an extent of when something like this comes up, you have to weigh the pros and cons, but I also think you have to weigh your situation. And I think one other thing about this is there are six quarterbacks in next year's draft who might end up being a top 10 to top 15 to top 20 pick. It's a really good class. There might end up only being one or two guys who end up being the lead dogs, and then everybody else flows behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the varying skill set, I don't know which wide receiver pairs with them the best. And I think we got to learn from the Odell thing. Now, of course, they drafted Baker first and then traded for Odell, but that thing failed because Baker and Odell's styles did not match. That's something that I think is incredibly important when talking about adding a wide receiver. You got to know who the quarterback is to make sure you're getting the right guy to throw the ball to.
I mean, he had 1,000-yard seasons with just about everyone in Washington before Jaden Daniels, though. Like, he's one of the few wide receivers in the league that I can point to and say, like, he's quarterback-proofed. He can play with any quarterback out there, and it doesn't seem like he's had a problem adjusting in the slightest bit.
I would probably say the same thing about Terry, but that's as a guy who hasn't watched him every day. And so I think that would be kind of my pushback is I know him as a guy that's watched him on TV, but because I don't watch him night in, night out, like, is he better with a big arm quarterback like a Mendoza or an Aller?
I mean, he's clearly better with someone like a Jaden Daniels, excuse me. Like, he clearly is. He had second most receiving touchdowns in the NFL. So, like, there's obviously something that quarterback play does matter within him relative to the other Washington quarterbacks, but he also had 1,000 yards with a bunch of really bad Washington quarterbacks.
But I also say, like, I think
it feels right to wait. I'm not disagreeing there.
So I just think I think this is the poison pill year or one of a few. Like, last year was we didn't see that coming because everyone, including the team, was talking about playoffs going into it or more. So this year is the, hey, you got to take your medicine year. And I feel like trading for a player of that caliber, whether it's a wide receiver, which is the most, probably the one defensible thing you could do. Like, if you traded for another edge rush right now, we'd be like, what the hell are you doing?
Right. It wouldn't make
sense. Or if you traded even for another tight end at this point, even if they were better than Njoku or Fannin, you'd say, what the hell you're doing here? But specific to wide receiver, I understand the impulse. Yeah, I think you have to show like, all right, we got to let this thing play out. And that includes, you got to dance with the ones you brought. You don't have to bring anybody extra.
I mean, it would be one of the more out of left field moves I feel like a lot of the NFL had seen in a while, right? And as much as I like it and I like the idea for the Browns within this discussion, just because I want them to be better at wide receiver. A lot of this is me just wanting to have a wide receiver conversation if we're being truthful about it. But there's a reason why we're talking about the Patriots. We talk about the Titans. We talk about the 49ers. We talk about those type of teams in this discussion. It's all teams that are already having lofty expectations for this upcoming season.
Jeremy in Little Italy. Terry McLaurin, does that sound like music to your ears?
As a Buckeye, I would love to see Terry on the Browns. However, I think I'm more siding with Mary Kay in that I would expect that kind of move to come next season. And accordingly, I have my eyes on guys like Chris Olave or Garrett Wilson, who are probably not too excited about what their offenses are going to look like this year and might be on the market come next year.
Jeremy, do you only want them to trade for an elite?
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Wide receiver if they went to Ohio State.
No, I would love anything that we can get, but when you start talking about Buckeyes, you know, Garrett Wilson is my favorite Buckeye receiver, and I think that he would be a great fit.
Oddly enough, the Jets are involved in some of these trade discussions with McLaurin. Like, they'd be one of the teams that have been floated with interest. Are you just a Jets fan if they have both your guys on the same team?
No, not at all.
With Justin Fields at quarterback?
That would be a that would be a fun offense, but I'm expecting them to run the ball so much that that wouldn't.
It'd be Justin Fields throwing to paper. It'd be Justin Fields throwing to Terry McLaurin and Garrett Wilson. Like, isn't that your dream scenario?
I mean, sort of. I just think that, you know, as an offensive schematics guy, the Justin Fields, Breece Hall, and Braylon Allen combining for 500 rushing attempts is more in line with what they should and probably will do.
Jeremy, we appreciate you, buddy. We got a boogie. Be good.
All right, peace.
So the Garrett Wilson thing in a year, that would be something. But he's just one of the most explosive and underrated players. Even a year, he got sick of and that would be a
player. Problem is that you'd need somebody to have basically getting a yelling match with their organization in order to even get there. Like, Terry McLaurin just wants $35 million a year is the problem. And they're looking around and being like, yeah, we think more like $24 million. And they're at an impasse here. Like, you need someone like Garrett Wilson to get extremely mad at the Jets.
How involved should the Browns be with the trade market? We're going to get your guys' reaction to the track of the summer for some Browns fans. And one 92.3 The Fan host. And 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm no music critic, as you know, because I just listen to country music and that's about it. And I'm like the type that I like Morgan Wallen. I like what's popular. It just is what it is with me. And I also do like a little Blitzen Trapper. Do I not?
I was looking at you and you were getting musically defensive in a way you didn't have to. It's okay.
Not your lover is my jam.
Yeah, everyone says Jonathan Peterlin, not your lover.
Big Blitzen Trapper guy. Yeah. So I thought
Blitzen Trapper.
I thought it was going to go somewhere a little bit, maybe higher up, maybe a little like.
You
it was
wanted
like,
some crooning?
It started off very, it was very down, and then I thought it was going to explode.
Yeah.
You know, like the music just explode and then be like a.
You're mad it didn't explode.
Well, we just watched that, the Travis Scott documentary, Astroworld, over the weekend.
Yeah.
And so as horrible as I think that guy is for all the things that he did not do in that event, I mean, it was a miserable, miserable job by him. You can tell within his music all has that, like, it goes down like that, and then it just explodes, and just massive energy, massive bursts, and Shador didn't really have that.
I would just love to get you to just describe songs.
Yeah, was that like Billboard for you guys? Was that, am I like part, should I write for the Rolling Stone? Like, is that what that was?
Is Bach back from the dead? He's just giving us music theory here. Well, I like when it starts out, and then it goes, and then it explodes, and then it gets soft again. And then it goes again, and then it gets soft again.
I mean,
the music, that is.
Yeah, the music. I had to delegitimize myself in order to then offer up that I didn't think it sounded bad. I didn't think it was bad. I wish it went somewhere, but I didn't think it was bad. I think at the first, like, you're telling
so
me,
it's like
Mac,
a Marvel movie now?
The first 10 seconds of that song, to everyone listening, sounded like just a rejoin where Mac left the words up, and that was it.
Mac, do you feel that way?
I feel like I've heard that beat and lyrics from about 7 different artists right
now. Then he's doing something right, is he not? Well, he's not a professional.
Then why are you putting it out?
This is a hobby. This is a hobby for him. And for it to sound like.
Shouldn't you be better at your hobbies?
For it to sound like. No. I mean, my hobby is golf. In no world do I hit a shot and be like, Tiger. It doesn't happen that way.
And the difference is you don't put out your golf game for mass consumption.
If I went off to the driving range and Mac was in back of me, I was like, wow, that swing is a combination of Koepka meets DeChambeau meets Rory. I've seen that swing from 7 pros. That's a great compliment.
Except it's music, where originality is kind of the key to the whole bit.
Yeah, but you know, well, I mean, originality with Shador in a music setting, come on. You know, all he is trying to do in this is sound like everybody else. That's all he's really going after here, and I think he accomplished that goal. Got a lot of lyrics in here, though.
I thought it was going to be a
lot
bop.
Of lyrics.
I thought it was going to be. I thought
you
it was going to be.
Didn't think it was going to be a bop in the slightest bit.
I thought it was going to be one
There's
of those. I thought
anyone,
it was going to be Song of the Summer. It's not Song of the Summer.
That's not even song of the week. No. There's not a single hip hop song out there that you would think is the song of the summer. I actually like I like hip hop.
Show your work.
What? Okay. How much do you talk about different hip hop acts ever?
I don't, but I can tell you what a good song is.
Because
I actually
know.
Like music. I'm not. I like
music
Morgan
a ton. I listen to a bunch of music. I just don't like the music you like.
Oh no, that's fair. We have different tastes. But I think my point is, I have pretty good taste in what good music is and what isn't.
I like very mainstream music, though. That's where I'd have the leg up on you in this discussion. You like more indie and more off the beaten path music, whereas if we're trying to find the bop of the summer, we're trying to find the number one hit, I would have much better...
Yeah, the Foo Fighters. What a little upstart band that is.
I would have a much better grasp of what is going to be the hip-hop Billboard song of the summer than you would. Is it how I said hip-hop?
Yeah. Well, it was a lot
I said
of
it close to like a poo from The Simpsons. It's like hip-hop, hip-hop-opotamus.
It's a lot. There's a lot in there. Also, you're no longer in the game. You're no longer in the clubs. You're a married man. You're a kept man. You're out in no-so, living the life. I think we're equally impaired when it comes to the song of the summer, except for I mean, listen to that and say, Shador, you're very good at football. Maybe just keep this one in your own personal listening device and maybe don't put it out to people. It's mid song.
Yeah, he's got three songs. I think they all have like millions of views right now.
Views don't speak to. There's a lot of things on social media that have views.
Listen, am I a little disappointed that it had the same beat the entire stretch of the way? Yeah, well, but did I expect more out of Shador to like kind of elevate it just a little bit? But I thought the first 10 seconds were great. And then it just stayed in the first 10 seconds over and over again.
Yeah.
I wanted it to elevate it just a little bit. Take me somewhere with the song. Mm. But you could tell. So people online were getting, they were reading into the lyrics in such a big time way because he says, too legit to quit. The thought of losing makes me sick. I'm not breaking strike. I'm trying to win. And that's just me reading it. I'm not trying.
I'm just.
You thought you wanted me to do it this way. I'm not reading it like I'm trying to do something.
These aren't even good rhymes. I'm too legit to quit. What was the next one?
The thought of losing makes me sick.
I think my 7-year-old, 8-year-old nephew could write better rhymes than that.
Producer carried on this song.
Who's the rapper that rhymed? What's the one you always go to, Mac?
T-Pain.
Yeah, T-Pain.
Mansion in Wisconsin.
Like, I mean, come on. Fuck, you act like you need to actually make these things rhyme in order to be a bop.
Yeah, but he is a T-Pain.
And he rhymed those.
T-Pain, I believe, won a Grammy. T-Pain has had some success. You can get lazy. If you're at the bottom of the music industry and you're too legit to quit, losing makes me sick.
The point isn't about whether the song is a bop or not a bop. The point is that Shador is trying to use his...
My girlfriend is a hick.
He's trying to use his...
She hit me with a stick.
These are awful, and you know they're awful.
I bought a catcher's mitt.
You're being
a what?
Yeah.
What rhymes with mitt?
Yeah. No. We were on the stick part of it still.
You know what? I think Jim in Strongsville here. Jim, do you hear a number one hit with Shador's summer track here?
I think that we finally learned that Jonathan's takes on music are just as bad as the sports takes.
Jim, that was just mean. That was just mean, Jim.
No, it wasn't mean. And Nick, by the way, the Foo Fighters are horrible, dude. The fact that you love that band makes me laugh every time you say it.
I said it once.
You say it all the time.
I don't say it all the time. I know what I say. I speak into a microphone. I can remember almost everything I say. All right?
I have heard you sing the praises of how it's going to call the Chili Peppers. That's how bad they are. I was going to sing. You sang the praises of the one.
All right, Jim. Now you're going to say your. Now you're going to crap on our music takes. Now you're going to say your favorite band.
Yeah, who do you like, Jim?
You like Kenny Chesney?
I like Kenny Chesney.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I do like Kenny Chesney.
I like the Dead.
The Grateful Dead.
Tell me about 77 and Cornell, Jim.
Enjoy some acid, Jim.
Their versatility was unmatched. They could do rock. They could do funk. They could do country. They could do old.
And they could do it all equally as bad.
Oh, guys.
I actually like Grateful Dead, by the way. I'm just jamming Jim up.
Keep on trucking, Nick. Keep on trucking.
We can rhyme with that, too.
I started rhyming.
We can rhyme with that one very easily.
Jim, we appreciate you. I did. The first thing I thought of to rhyme with trucking is exactly what you thought it was. And I was like, I'm not even going to say a damn word. My mouth gets me more in trouble than anybody else. All right.
I like that you've, by the way, just written down hip hop to being, can you rhyme? Can you make the lyrics rhyme?
It's music in general. There has to be musicality to it. And I'm too legit to quit, which, by the way, somebody else said first. Losing makes me sick.
That sounds pretty good when you just said it, by the way.
Because I'm very musical.
Is that what that was?
Because if I said it, I wouldn't say it like monotone or whatever Shador was
The reality, the sad part here is I would bet a lot of money that Shador's got a little bit. He's got to have some sort of ghostwriter, right?
the ghostwriter wrote that.
Yeah, but that's the sad part, is he probably paid a lot of money to have that ghostwriter.
If Shador wrote that, I would just say, well, he's
so the assumption people are making is that he's writing his own lyrics and he's putting this all out here and he's going to use this as messaging throughout his entire Browns tenure to display how he feels.
Steve Phillips, MLB Network in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.